46. And we're probably dealing with verses, we're in chapter 3, and we'll probably be looking at, kind of lay an introduction for these verses, but we'll be 5 through 9. I'll go ahead and read them, and then we'll start. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, in the first couple of chapters, we're kind of looking at Paul's journey of faith. You know, the way Paul started out, when it pleased God, it separated me from my mother's womb. You know, we've been through all that. God revealed his son in me that I might preach him. And Paul's coming from what he thought, or why he thought the law was given. Because remember in Philippians he says, touching the law, blameless. So he had come from that, why he thought the law was given, to its actual reason, and also experiencing the end of the law. And him experiencing faith coming, you know, and, you know, we're going to get to that in the end of this chapter. I mean, Paul actually experienced the casting out of the bondwoman, you know, all these things that are laying right out ahead. Paul actually experienced Jerusalem above, which is free and the mother of us all, and separated from the earthly. Paul actually experienced those things. And he's telling the Galatians, I'm not just making this stuff up and telling you it's all of faith. Now, you know, that would, I mean, you know, that's a big, what we call a churchy word, faith. Well, Paul isn't just throwing out a word here and saying it's all by faith. You know, he's the way he's bringing us in is the substance of this whole matter. And the matter of faith is about Christ, the Son, the seed that faith looked for, living in your soul, and God revealing that Son in your soul as all the fullness, as the end of the law itself. And God even testifying of this beforehand, and then Paul is bringing, you know, in these verses, Paul is about to bring in Abraham. He's about to introduce Abraham. And he's about to he's showing them that this is so much more than just a personal matter. Yes, it's a personal, it must become a personal matter. It must become an inward experience of the heart, but this is the very thing that Paul is saying, of which everything God did was done. About this seed, that the promise given to Abraham, we're going to look at that. Everything, the testimony was towards this. And this is unto which the grace of God has brought the Galatians. Already brought them that. And they seem to be foolish or ignorant concerning the matter. And we looked at this verse 5 last week, and just, you know, we talked about it being a bad translation. He therefore that ministereth to you, the Spirit worketh miracles among you. You know, that word miracles right there was the word dunamis. It was the word for power. And the word among is not the word among, like outside of you, but it's the word in 1722. So he wasn't talking about outward miracles, but he was speaking of the power that was now present and working in himself. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles in you, doeth it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Because Paul wasn't changing gears here and saying, hey, look at all these outward miracles. He's talking about the inward. And so when Paul's not talking about the inward and then in this verse going to the outward, he's talking about the power that works in us. We're going to look at what this power is. And then he asks the question, does this power take place in you because of the works of the law or the works of your flesh, or I could say it this way, because of the things that you do? You know that your soul is not transformed because you do good things. It never has been and never will. You do good things because your soul is transformed. It's not the other way around. Or is this power working in you by the hearing of faith, by the declaration of the gospel, and our hearts open to receive it, for Christ to do in us what only He can do? And in that doing, what does it do? It brings us from faith to faith. A faith, and we've talked about this, a faith that looked for the seed to a faith that beholds the seed. To a faith that lays hold of the seed. You know, I'm always thinking, and you know, this was just the natural part, but I always think about the woman with the issue of blood. Think about Malachi. He'll come with healing in his wings. And, you know, I've done a search on that story, wings, before. And you know, what people do with that natural, they think, well, that's when Jesus flies through the air, an angel comes with wings and all that stuff. But actually, that word wings, what they called wings, was those tassels that hung on the shawl they wore. So he, and that's it was the hem of his garment. That's what the wings were. That's what Israel called the wings. So the woman with the issue of blood had got a hold of that. So what did she do? She knew he would come with healing in his wings. She did what? She reached out to those wings. She reached out to the hem of his garment, which the other word was wings. So it brings you from a faith of reading Malachi, looking for him to come, to a faith that actually takes hold and lays hold of him. You see the difference. But still the same object is in view. The object of he will come with healing in his wings to he has come. Bringing you to the now. Say it that way. And I say it that way because, and gosh, I know that we used to do this all the time, and most, well, a lot of hit songs are this way because they're always looking back. Remember the good old days? I remember some of the songs, one of the songs I used to do all the time, well, Merle Haggard's song, I Wish a Buck Was Still Silver. It was back when the country was strong. You know, Make America Great Again. So we're always looking backward. It's exactly what Israel did, wasn't it? They had came out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, brought out, and God said, I brought you out to bring you in, but they spent their whole time doing what? Looking back to the good old days. And really, what were their good old days? Their good old days of being in bondage, being beat, and making bricks. But to them, that was the good old days. You know, in my mind, I'm always thinking, and you know, I wasn't raised up in this, but it was there, and even our church has had this for a long time. But I'm going to tell you what. I can remember one time down on the farm, maybe in the winter of 77, our water was frozen for a couple weeks. We didn't have water, so we had to go down the creek and bust ice, bring water up. You want to take a bath? Behind the stove, put up a curtain, had a wash tub, you filled that wash tub up with water, you got down in there, took a bath right behind the stove. And we call them the good old days. But I'm gonna tell you what, when I got in work as senior, I got a nice hot shower, you know what I mean? I would rather have it today, you know, and I can remember the times going out to the old toilet. It's not fun. Especially with a bee's nest in the toilet. Or snakes in the toilet. But you know, those were the good old days. Yeah. But, you know. And the Sears catalog had multiple reasons. You know, Sears catalog is in every toilet because, you know, and you know, those were the good old days. But really, if we had to go back, it wouldn't be such the good old days. But but you know, our hearts long. And Paul never said, I want to go back. He's always pressing on that he might know him that apprehended him. And so Israel, even though they had came out, even though they came out by the blood of the Lamb, were still in bondage to Egypt, even though they were free. You know, and I mean, that's the way it is. When I say this with church people, I am first speaking of myself, because this is a thing that takes place continually in our hearts. Because I promise you, as soon as I'm seem like I'm free from one thing, something else is in view. It's not that I go back into bondage, but it's a bondage that's already been there and I've just become aware of it. You know what I mean? So it's like peeling an onion. No matter how much you peel the onion, you know what? It's still an onion. It never does change into an apple, does it? You peel that onion all the way down, you cry like a... It's still an onion. So it makes like you peel an onion. I want to get to the good part. No, still an onion all the way down. So... But Paul's talking about this power that works in him. And that's why he says here in Colossians, we looked at this verse last week, where he says in Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving. But not just striving, but striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That word, power, working, which worketh in me mightily. But what is it according to? It's according to, you can read verse 23 through 28, it's according to him having made known the mystery, which had been hidden, but now is revealed in the saints. And what is that mystery according to that mystery? Christ in you is the expectation. That's the power. That's the power working in me mightily. That life that me under the law could never see. See, when Christ was revealed in Paul, his soul was mightily affected. He came to know his very reason for existence. I remember this guy, and many of us had dinner before. I really like him. And you know, sometimes people will say things to you that just kind of stick in your mind. And he always said this. He would always say, come to church. He said, come out here with us and find out your purpose. Find out your purpose. And you know, at one time I began it because I know where that goes. Okay, well, hey, your purpose is to be a singer. Your purpose is to be, you know, this kind of ministry. But really, his statement is true. But see, we get ahead of that. Really, and this is what Paul found out. He found out his purpose. His purpose was to be the temple of the living God. His purpose was to be filled with Christ. And he had discovered that in the revealing of Christ. So yeah, come to church and find out your purpose. Every soul ever created of God has a purpose. But that purpose is all one and the same. There may be different functions that come out of that, but our purpose is one and the same, to be filled with the glory of God. And this mightily affected Paul. He found out the reason God created his soul, so that Christ could be the life of his soul. and that Christ could have his increase there. And back over here, let me get back to Galatians. Let me look at these verses. And because of those things right there, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached therefore the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faith for Abraham. But he makes this statement, the gospel was preached to Abraham. I thought you had to be an apostle to preach the gospel. Or one of those things. But yet, I think Stephen even declared this same thing. The gospel was preached to Abraham. We're going to go look at that here in a minute. Now, let me show you something here in Romans. Because this is going to take us on a little journey here. Romans 1 and 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You remember that word, separated, is severed. Severed from my mother's womb, he said. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Look, I mean, yes, Paul is saying, a servant called to be an apostle, separated unto this gospel which he had promised afore by his prophets, where in the Holy Scriptures? And what was this gospel? Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made, what? Of the seed of David, according to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection, I'll set this way, out from among the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Let me skip down to verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Now remember, we started out talking about this power that worketh in me mightily. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now look at that. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's that word faith, faithing. To the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at that little word, therein. For therein is the gospel of right, or the gospel or the righteousness of God revealed. What, therein what? Therein is another word for where. W-H-E-R-E, where. So where is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith? In the gospel. In the gospel. Separated into the gospel, Paul said. What was revealed in the gospel? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of the law. And see, Abraham, back over in that verse, Abraham did what? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him righteousness. How? By faith. And again, that word faith, believed, it's the active tense of the word faith. Abraham had faith that was active towards God. But what is the basis of this faith? What was the basis of this gospel that was preached unto Abraham? Well, let's go back to Genesis 15 and look. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. The word of the Lord. In the beginning was the word. The word came in a vision. Came in a form, in a vision. Saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I wonder if people get a hold of that. Just that verse right there. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Then the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be the heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. See, that's the origin. That's the basis of Abraham's faith. Now, what was the basis of that? This faith has a seed as its basis. Abraham had no heir. He had no child. So the basis of this thing was a son, was a seed. And you know, guys, when I'm talking about, I was thinking about that this evening, all these terms, you know, Mount Zion, New Jerusalem, seed, son. The reason the Lord uses different terms is because he wants to bring out a different expression. You know, seed is the same thing as son. But when he says seed, the first thing you think of is increase. So that's the reason in this. He mentions a seed. And then he begins to compare to the stars of heaven. In other words, for the increase, the greatness of this seed. So that's why this term is being used. So Abraham's faith was in view of the seed. Now remember what we read in Romans? Therein, where? In the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And in the old, Abraham's faith looked for that seed. He looked afar off. He looked for a seed that was promised. Right here, you know, the promise is given of God. Paul's frustration with the Galatians is they're throwing aside the grace of God due to what? Their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. They're not having faith. That's why he's bringing faith right into view here. They're wanting a law. They're wanting, you know, are you now made perfect in the flesh, you know, by your deeds of the law, or by the hearing of the gospel, by the hearing of faith? So Paul's frustration is because their lack of faith. And faith, again, has the seed as its basis, as its object, or it has Christ as its object. And Abraham had the seed as its object. Our faith must have Christ as its object, as its center, or it's not valid. Remember, that's why Paul would say this. How did Paul live? Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And by living that way, I don't frustrate the grace of God. You see, he said that right at the end of chapter 2. So what the Galatians doing? They're not living by faith. So by them not living by faith, they are automatically frustrating the grace of God. See, to the Galatians, grace has brought them into union with Christ, just like he has us. He's brought them into union with the fullness of the Godhead. They're complete in him. He's brought them into Christ, who has made unto the Galatians all that he is. But grace demands faith. Because it's by faith we do what? We access the grace wherein we stand. Where Christ has already made unto us all spiritual fullness. But faith is what accesses that grace. And it's only by faith that we can perceive the reality wherein we've been brought. And see, that's That's the whole point here that he's making to the Galatians. And you know what? That's the point of the church world today. Because you cannot see this thing with your natural eyes. You can't comprehend it. It must be apprehended by faith. Faith accesses the grace into which we've already been brought. And that word access, we may have went over this, means to bring to the faith. Bring to the face. Faith brings us to the face of the grace in whom we stand. Sounds like Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. Brings us face to face with the beloved in whom we are accepted. Only faith does that. No work you could ever do will bring you to his face or bring your soul to a view of him. So Abraham did what? Abraham by faith. So, let's go to Romans 4 and dive down in this thing. Romans 4, we'll start at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh has found? What do we say that Abraham as pertaining to the flesh has found? Now, where does this statement come from? I mean, this statement comes from the chapter right before, verse 27, when he says, where's boasting then? It's excluded by what law? By of works, nay, but by the law of faith. I mean, this whole thing, this whole chapter comes out of what? Jews, Gentiles, they've all did what? They've all sinned. They've all come short of the glory of God. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. I mean, look at verse 21 in chapter 3. But now, the righteousness of God without the law was manifested. The righteousness that was witnessed by the law and the prophets. The scriptures bore witness of a righteousness that had nothing to do with the law. You remember a couple weeks ago we said the law was that parenthesis? And I think you'll see that more in what I'm talking about today. The law was that parenthesis. Remember, it was added. Why? Because of transgression. So there's a righteousness here that's revealed that had nothing to do with the law or nothing to do with you keeping the law. It was added to secure the promise, to see the purpose of God brought forth. He says, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, you fall short of the glory because you're not the seed. Ishmael didn't do anything wrong. He just wasn't Isaac. And being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom he has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, he says that he might be just, or that he might be righteous, and the justifier of them that believe. In other words, if he has to be the righteousness of all men, because none are, right? I mean, that's what he's saying. All have sinned, so Christ himself has to be the righteousness of all men, because none are, then where is boasting? It's excluded. It's shut out. There's no room for it here. And by what law? Works? No. The law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified or made righteous by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Faith doesn't make void the law, it establishes the law. Because the law had faith as its object. Now listen to what I'm saying. The law had faith as its object. Faith has Christ as its object. The law was towards faith. And you remember, the law was given because of transgression. In other words, in Abraham's time, they walked by faith. By the time Moses came along, they had transgressed and were no longer walking by faith. So God gave them the law, which was to point them back to faith, which had Christ in its view. See, they were plumb over here. They didn't have nothing in their view. So the law was to bring them back to faith, which had Christ as its view. So here in Romans 4:1, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has failed. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath wherewith to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now what is debt? I mean, if you work hard, you get paid. You know? The harder you work for God, the bigger house you're going to get in heaven, right? That's debt. In other words, it's out of debt he pays you. Not because you're a good person, but because of debt. See, salvation doesn't work that way. Never has. Salvation just... I mean, could you imagine that by works that you would think that you would get God indebted to you? Because that's what works is, that God owes me something now because I did a good deed for him. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, go back to Abraham and read, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Nothing he did, it wasn't of debt. His faith was counted. And what is the basis of faith? Faith has the seed in view. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I think we got a picture of that Sunday when we were talking about he made those coats of skin, you know, washed in the blood. In other words, you're covered in the life of another. And if you're not covered in the life of another, then where are you? You're found naked. Naked and wanted. In other words, you're outside of the purpose of God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Can you imagine when Paul is writing this letter, how the Judaizers, how much controversy this was causing them? Because here's the question, how then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. See, when it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness, circumcision had not yet been given. And not even came about yet. When God gave him the promise of the seed, there was no circumcision. But look at verse 11. and he received the sign of circumcision. So think about this. Abraham is having faith. Faith's object is the seed, and it's accounted unto Abraham for righteousness. Now we're going to seal that righteousness with what? A seal of the righteousness. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. In other words, this seal of circumcision was not a work of the law. It was not a work of the flesh of Abraham. It wasn't, yes, it was an external seal. And that seal said about Abraham that Abraham has faith in God concerning the seed. It said Abraham believed God. It says that Abraham would be the father of all who believed, of all who had faith. And he was marked. That was the seal given to him. Look at verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which had been yet uncircumcised. See, he brings that point up again. See, Abraham had faith before he was circumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. See, the promise was given. And the law that came, we'll get to this in Galatians 3, right on down from where we're at. The law that came 430 years later could not nullify that promise. That seed came unto whom the promise was made. So now, is it by the law that we serve God? Is it by the law that we are righteous? Or is it by faith? By beholding the faith of Abraham in the indwelling Son fulfilled in our souls. And remember, he says it's not to seeds of many, but seeds to one, even Christ, and that one living in your soul. And we are partaking, or we are accessing that fullness. How? By faith. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is void. Now, can you see this frustration Paul's dealing with the Galatians? Talking about the faith that Paul is now lives by the faith of the Son of God. And he doesn't frustrate the grace of God because he lives by the faith. Now, these Galatians are... They're not having faith, so what are they doing? They're frustrating the grace. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of what? No effect. Remember, Paul just says that will in him, but he says over here under the law, no effect. Not effectual, no effect. Void. Why? Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. We'll look at that. Well, let me read this other verse. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, you can read this whole chapter of Romans 4. You'll see there's never a mention of Ishmael here. Now, in Galatians 4, Paul mentions Ishmael, the bondwoman. But in Galatians 4, The reason he mentions Ishmael is because he's contrasting two different seeds. And I know this is the way I was brought up. Most think when they look at these two seeds, Isaac and Ishmael, and they'll say Ishmael is the Muslims or the Arabs, and the Jews are of Isaac. But Paul doesn't make that reference. When Paul talked of Isaac, what Paul is speaking of is those of Christ. And when he talks about Ishmael, he's speaking of the natural Jews. He's speaking of those who are still under the bondage of the law. Because see, when Paul wrote, and this is the thing that most don't understand, when Paul wrote and John wrote and Peter wrote, they all wrote, there were two groups claiming to be the seed. In Jesus' day, did they not say, we're of our father Abraham? Jesus said, no, you're of your father the devil. I'm the seed. They said, so that was all the controversy, you know. When will this thing be? When will this thing be solved? Because those of faith, those of Abraham, those believing in Christ, Paul is calling the seed. The Jews right here are saying, no, buddy, we're it. Abraham is our father. I've got my genealogy laid out right. That's the reason all along he would say flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, flesh and blood, no. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you. It's not according to natural heritage. But it's a faith. If it was according to natural heritage, then this thing would be, faith would be made void. But by faith, we all have access. And what was that faith? That faith that has the seed as its object. You remember in Romans, you know, when Paul's talking about this in Romans 3:1, what advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. I mean, they had a testimony among them that declared Christ. They lived in the midst of a testimony. They lived in the midst of a tabernacle that declared. They lived in the midst of an altar that they seen the shedding of blood. They lived in the midst of the Passover feast and the taking of the bread and the wine. And they lived in the very midst of that, yet still rejected when the substance came. Look, let me switch over to chapter 9 of Romans. Because he says the same thing right here in chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to what? According to natural lineage, according to flesh. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, which was the priesthood, the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. When he says the fathers right there, you remember God who at diverse times and sundry times spoken to the fathers? What did he speak unto them? Concerning Christ. Then he said the end of those days have came because Christ came now. And he says this in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. I mean, how much more plain could this verse be? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham that they jumped around and claimed. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Just, you're not Israel because you're a natural born Jew. They had it all. They had the oracles of God. They had the promises. They had the priesthood. They even had Christ given to them by a virgin. Christ given to them in the flesh, and they still rejected him. And there's a reason. Because everything God did was about a spiritual seed, one that could not be accessed by the natural mind. He had in view a spiritual substance, not a natural external thing. So back here in Romans 4, Paul is not making circumcision better than uncircumcision. That's why in Galatians, remember he said, circumcision availeth nothing, uncircumcision availeth nothing. But faith which does what? Worketh by love. And then in the last chapter of Galatians, he said, again, faith worketh nothing, or circumcision availeth nothing, uncircumcision availeth nothing, but a new creation, a new creature. We seen this the other night. I hadn't thought about this before, but I just want to throw this little note out at you. Because we're talking about the seed in Isaac, and in thy seed, you know, thou shall be called. And you know that Canaan, the land of Canaan, was the land that was promised to Israel. So when they came in, there was all these ites that lived in Canaan, you know, the Girgashites and the you know, all the ites that lived there. And finally, David becomes king. But was David ever king of Canaan? Or was David king of Israel? Why is that? Because you remember we read the verse back here in Romans, even as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputed. So we're talking, remember, Jesus, thou what, son of David? Jesus, thou seed of David? The land takes on the name of the seed. That's why he didn't become king of Canaan, because the land had a name change. Just like Abraham did what? Abram had a name change from Abram to Abraham. Sarah had a name change from Sarah to Sarah. Jacob had a name change from Jacob to Israel. The land, your soul, takes on the name of the seed. When the seed comes in, then those that are of Isaac take on that name. I'm back in Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. Now listen to this. To the end the promise might be certain. Remember what Peter said? We have a more sure word of prophecy. What does that mean? He had a better doctrine? No, they had Christ himself, who was the fulfillment of every prophecy ever given. They had a more sure one. They had the substance himself. And he said, to the end the promise, to the goal, the promise might be sure and certain to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What is that certainty? We have it in certainty and surety where? In the indwelling Christ, Christ who lives in you. That by faith we would see what the grace of God has done. In his face we would see the certainty of salvation. And it's not a salvation we're trying to work for and making God in debt to us to give it to us. Let me go on to verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I've heard that verse before, and I know you guys have too. So we jump around and we start trying to call things that we're trying to access by faith. Here's how I used to do it. Well, I'm poor and I need some money, so I'm calling myself rich even though I'm poor. Or somewhere along those lines. I'm calling those things as not as though they were. Keep in context what we're talking about here. What is he talking about? He's talking about the certainty of the promise. What was the certainty of the promise? Abraham, I'm making you a father of many nations. But we read in Genesis that Abram didn't even have. He said, Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. Abraham didn't even have a seed. Abraham didn't even have a son. I'm calling those things as not as though they were. And let me just bring this about to you in another view of it. Calling those things as not. What was not? The Gentiles who were what? Not a people. To bring, and you remember in Corinthians when he said to bring to not the things which are? And what were the things that are? The Jews were saying, we are the seed, the Gentiles are dogs. So I'm going to call those things as not the Gentiles to bring to not the things that are the Jews. You see the big switcheroo right here. But what he's saying here is it's a faith. It's a faith. It's a faith. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Why does he say hope against hope? Abraham was faced with this promise. Abraham, you're going to have a seed. But what was the story of this? Abraham's 100 years old. His wife was 90. Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham had nothing to hope in. If he looked at his wife, where would his hope be? Nothing. No hope at all. He was as good as dead. He was as far as dead, as far as performing and fulfilling this promise. That's what Paul is saying to the Galatians here. Because what are the Galatians doing? They've been brought into this grace. They're not accessing it by faith, so Paul's bringing faith into the picture. Now they're trying to perform this thing. They're trying to do it by works of the law. What he's saying is, Galatians, you need to look at Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith knew he had no capacity at all to perform this thing. He had no ability to bring this about. Galatians, all you bring into this, and you know this is for us, all we bring into Christ is a dead womb. That is it. We bring nothing else. A dead womb. See, if you're the object of your expectation, then all that's left is frustration. I don't frustrate the grace of God. And see, that's what religion does. It tries to remedy the deadness of the womb. And that's the point. Only God can change the deadness of the womb. This is what he's talking about. The power which works in me mightily is the same power that worked in Sarah's womb mightily. Because her womb was what? Dead. Abraham's faith, Abraham's hope, his expectation was not in his capacity, but his faith was fixed upon what God had promised. And that God was faithful and powerful enough to fulfill, to perform what he had promised. I mean, this is exactly what Paul has said. I mean, Abraham's expectation was God had to make the promise. God made the promise. God's the only one that could fill the promise. And what does Paul say? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 19, and be not weak in faith, consider not his own body now dead. Now that's a play on words. We'll look at that. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Able. You know that word able is the same word, dunamis, power. He's able to perform it, to fulfill it. And you know, the Jews reading this letter, they would say, man, Paul's really covering up for Abraham here. Because what about Hagar and Ishmael? You know, he's making no mention of Hagar and Ishmael. This says he didn't even stagger the promise, don't he? He didn't even stagger the promise of God. He believed. Well, what about Ishmael? He's not mentioned here. Why? Because we're talking about faith. And what is faith? The faith is the view of the Father being fulfilled. It's the mind of Christ working in you. It's the Father's view. So when you're talking about faith, Ishmael can't be in the picture. Because Ishmael's not the object of it. There's only one object that faith has. And that's the seed. That's the son. When you're talking about bondage and when you're talking about law and not walking by faith, then Ishmael is front and center. When you're talking about that, then you're saying, yeah, I can do that. Then you go out and you try to make it happen like Abraham did. Then you end up with this wild thing that has to be kicked out. When was the wild thing cast aside? When faith came. When they weaned Isaac and Ishmael had to be turned out. And you remember Abraham and Sarah? We talked about them times, but he said at the time of life, Abraham and Sarah, wait. In the time of life, I will come and you'll bear a son. Faith always waits until the time of life. And see that always from faith to faith. Being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to perform it. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Let's go back to verse 19 here. This is kind of a weird translation. And be not weak in the flesh, he considered not his own body dead. Now, you remember we talked a few weeks ago about this wasn't the power I'm at a loss for a word here. You know, when you're positive thinking, that's the word I'm looking for. It wasn't that Abraham was there trying to positive think through it. Abraham didn't pretend to not see his own body dead. Okay, he wasn't saying, well, I'm 100 years old, but I'm going to act like I'm, you know, 30. I'm just going to pretend. I'm going to call those things not as though they are. You know how we try to do it in the church? Well, no, that's not what it means. Abraham gave full attention to his body and Sarah's. He had investigated the matter thoroughly. He had no ability to perform this. You see, that's why it says he staggered not. And he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform it. So he looked at his dead body, fully considered it being dead, looked at Sarah's womb and fully considered it being dead. Didn't stagger at the promise, knowing that if God promised it, he's the only one that is able to perform it. And he staggered not at that. Now, you say, what kind of faith is that? That's awesome faith. Because that's a faith that is solely joined and bound to one that made the promise and the seed and to whom the promise is fulfilled. Knowing that God is the one who made it, is the one who will do it. The only one that can do it. So faith It's not up to me to do it. Never was up to me. It must be by the power of God. It must be by His power to reveal that seed, to show us the Son. And then, here's the faith of Abraham saying, I can't do this. I can't be him. I can't produce anything. You, God, must make this reality, which is Christ, the reality of my soul. Faith says what? I am dead. I am crucified. I have no ability. Christ is my life. Christ is my all in all. Christ has made unto me all that He is. See, it's just the opposite, because now we want to have a people with a positive mindset, but faith says I have no ability. I have no capacity. I have nothing. I'm crucified. Christ is my life. See, I love that. And this goes back, and I see this more and more. This goes back to the man under authority. I just think about that so much. Remember, we spoke about that when that man came to Jesus and said, you know, I'm also a man under authority. I know you're a man under authority. You don't even have to come into my house. I have no ability here, but I'm under authority. I'm under the power of Caesar, as you are under the power of God. Just say the word. Now, see what power. See, we think by not positive thinking we'll lose power, but actually all you do by positive thinking in that sense is frustrate the grace of God. See, it's just the opposite. It turns the world upside down to us. Now, it says that he staggered not. You know what staggered means? You know, the first thing you think of when staggered, you know, you think of a drunkard. And he's walking and he's staggered. But what the word means is he swayed. Okay? Now bring this over into Ephesians. Tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. In other words, Abraham did not sway. Abraham didn't go from this opinion to this opinion. To this opinion, to this opinion. He staggered not. He didn't waver. In other words, Abraham did not have two expectations. In other words, as James says, because to stagger, to go back and forth, is to what? Be double-minded. He didn't have an opinion of the flesh that says, I can do this, I can be that. And another opinion that says, well, God has promised it. You see, that's why James and Paul and all these other ones, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He hasn't had the judgment of the cross working in his heart that says, you have nothing here. You bring nothing here but a dead womb. Your righteousness is of so filthy rags. Christ is the justifier. Christ is made unto you righteousness. You bring nothing here. A double-minded man thinks, God is going to help me and I'm going to bring this to the table. I'm going to bring my talents to the table. I'm going to bring this to the... You know what I mean? Abraham staggered not because he knew, I have no ability here. I'm dead and Sarah's womb was dead. Christ alone is the power that worketh in me mightily. And he says, oh, you know, go back to that. Oh, foolish Galatians, are you who began in the Spirit, you who began in this grace, you that have been brought to the fullness of God, you that have been brought to everything, every prophecy that was ever spoken, you have been brought there. And because you're not walking by faith, because you're not accessing the grace, you are attempting to perfect that is already perfect by your works. Oh, foolish Galatians. So, I will. That's just sort of an introduction to these verses that we're going to be looking at. So I will quit.